Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a weekly program that tries to intersect faith and values with different issues in our culture locally and globally. Thank you, folks, for listening on a weekly basis. Now, over 20 years, it's been a blast doing the show. Thanks to my friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse and Perry Fine's Jewelry for their support of the show. Your support allows me to be on every single week. Well, what else can we talk about except the COVID-19 crisis? I want to continue to give all of you hope amidst this crisis, give you some practical suggestions on how to handle anxiety in your life. In fact, I have a book that's coming out just this week. It's entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. You can presently get it at christianbooks.com, but at the end of this week, it will be available on amazon.com. It's 12 practical suggestions on how to handle anxiety. It's only $10. It's an easy read. It has to be. I wrote it, but it's a wonderful way to deal with anxiety in 12 practical ways before you ever have to get on medications and those more severe ways of dealing with anxiety. Here are some practical things you can do to overcome anxiety, rooted in the scripture, rooted in a biblical perspective. That's the way I look at life. It's called a biblical worldview. And I hope, again, the book Moving Beyond Anxiety is something that you would love to have and be a part of your life in the months to come, because COVID-19 is not going away. Ed Billick, is it?
David, first of all, welcome back into the studio. You've been remote the last two shows.
Yeah, actually.
It's good to have you back in here. And we are 6 feet apart.
So yeah, we are. We're practicing social distancing. And, you know, I shared with the church I pastor, Moments of Hope Church, online last week that actually I was running a fever and I had chills and a cough and it persisted. It just wouldn't go away. So finally, my doctor said, let's get you tested. So I went in and got the test, and it honestly, I think the cure is worse than the disease. They, you know, stick the thing up your nostril to try to get the culture that's necessary to do the test. So for 24 hours, I lived with a question mark. Do I have this thing? You know, I had every symptom. You know, I could have guessed that.
You're a very faithful guy. How did you handle the anxiety?
Well, you know, I did what I talk about in this book, Moving Beyond Anxiety. I attacked my anxiety with faith. I had to go to God and say, you know what? You're the giver of life. I gave my life to you years ago. You control everything. Every atom, every cell in my life is under your sovereign control. If I have it and I've got to go to the ICU unit and I eventually die, I believe that to die is to gain. I go be with Jesus. I'm in his presence. I'm with my loved ones who've gone on before me. If I live, I can continue to try to help people grow in their faith to handle not only this crisis, but all crises. You know, Ed, that's where we've all got to live. Paul said in Philippians 1, if I die, I go be with Jesus, and that's gain. If I live here, I continue to be able to tell people about Jesus. So either works out okay for me. I give my life totally to the Lord. And that's what I had to do during those 24 hours with chills and fever and cough. I just had to say, Lord, my life is yours. Whatever you will is my will. And I'm going to trust you in this. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be fearful.
So it's just a bad cold.
It ended up being probably a seasonal crud, if you will.
Yeah, we
go through in April when the pollen comes out. And you know, it's been an inch deep on our cars over the last several weeks. And I think I just had one of those bronchial things I get occasionally in the changing of the seasons. But for 24 hours there, I didn't know. And I had to feel great empathy for those out there who have the virus and wondering how God's going to handle their lives, if they'll get well or not. And for any of you out there who may have it, trust the Lord, continue to move forward. The truth is only 2% will die from this disease. I like those odds, and continue to trust God. And if you go be with him, that's better. Because then you're in heaven, you have to deal with no COVID-19 crises, no other diseases, no other turmoils, no other trials. Heaven is perfect. We look forward to that. We're a week out from the resurrection. Let's remind ourselves that the resurrection reality is still true today.
So how was your Easter Sunday? I mean, you did a service online, right?
Our church has two online services at 9 and 11, momentsofhopechurch.org. Anyone listen to it after this show is over with, please do so.
You go back and listen to any weeks. It's all archived.
They're all there if anybody wants to listen to them. And we've had to do what all churches have had to do. You know, you're Catholic, Ed, and you've had to do the same thing. Go online and try as best you can to have some kind of community. I give the message. We have a worship time. We also have a chat room. We also have a prayer room that people can go into and receive prayer. So in a virtual world as best we can. We try to care for our people, but it's not perfect. It's not getting together. You know, we're not to forsake the assembling together of the believers, Hebrews 10. We're social animals. We were meant to be together, but we can't right now. And that's the reality of our situation, so we've got to do second best.
I understand, but coming up on the show today, you got a great announcement on a giving to some charities. We'll talk that. What else are we going to do in the rest of the show?
Well, I want to look at my book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, and one particular chapter, the chapter in Matthew 6 that talks about Jesus' words on anxiety. The chapter in my book is entitled Consider Creation. It is Jesus' specific teachings on how to handle anxiety. People ask me all the time, well, did Jesus actually confront the problem of anxiety? He did in Matthew 6, verses 24 through 35, and we're going to look at those verses today in specificity to see how to handle anxiety. Folks, it's wonderful being with you. I'm David Chadwick. God's in control of COVID-19. Trust Him. We'll be right back.
WBT, a radio.com station.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. This is a faith and values show, and how we need faith and values right now during the COVID-19 crisis. We are so thankful that we have a God who cares for us amidst even this worst crisis possible. We know He cares. That is a promise in the Scripture over and over again. My friend Ed Billick, the producer of the show, has his mic open. We're talking about how to handle anxiety. I have a book that's coming out this week entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. You can get it via Amazon.com. It's 12 practical suggestions on how to handle anxiety. We think that if you practice these 12 principles, you'll be able to handle anxiety and not have it conquer your life. Indeed, you'll conquer it as well. So again, Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 practical strategies to renew your mind. The truth is, anxiety begins in the mind. It begins in a thought, and thoughts produce feelings. If you are feeling anxiety, it's probably because your mind is focused on anxious thoughts. So change your thoughts to look at faith. When you focus on faith, anxiety flees. You are what you think, folks. Your feelings are caused by your thought life. And this book is trying to give you 12 ways to capture your thoughts so you can focus on faith. And then peace will come into your heart, not anxiety. Again, Moving Beyond Anxiety coming out this week. Ed, I hope some people will prosper by it.
I think they will, David. I've previewed it. And thank you for an autographed copy, too. They're pretty cool of you. You know, a lot of people are giving of themselves right now. WBT Morning News had a couple stories this morning of people that are stepping out, whether it's creating face masks or doing different kind of things. And a lot of churches, even though you're not in the pews, they're stepping up. I heard something that you guys are doing is just outstanding.
Well, Moments of Hope Church is only a year old. We're a fledgling church. We were created last Easter, and we celebrated our first year in existence online together, and that was a wonderful thing. But, you know, Ed, we have our own building needs that we're looking at. We're going to have a permanent home. We've been meeting at AG Middle School in the gymnasium there. But the truth is, we were confronted with the reality, should we take the giving that's coming in online or people sending their checks and keep stashing that money away to build up a war chest in order to buy property and help other people? Or people are hungry in our community. They are not healthy. They're not able to get the care that they need. So our leadership got together, and one of our leaders named Rick Parsons, who's a very conservative banker, he's been on this show before, really understands finances and our economy very well. He just said, why don't we give $1 million away? And it was interesting. It took about 5 minutes for the rest of the leadership of Moments of Hope Church to get on board and say, that's absolutely what we should do. So we made a decision last week to give away $1 million over the next several months for the purpose of mostly feeding hungry people. So we're going to work with organizations locally like Jim Noble's King Kitchen, like Tony Marciano's organization, the Charlotte Rescue Mission. Also, Rusty Price's ministry, Camino Church on the north side of town, dealing mostly with vulnerable Latino community. Yeah, he's been on the show. And, you know, the Latino community doesn't have access to some government nets that allow people going through the COVID-19 crisis to be able to continue. They just are trying to exist. So we're going to give away $1 million, Ed. And we have had people ask us, why in the world would you do that with your own needs? Well, bottom line, Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's fun to give than to receive. So over the next month, we're giving away $1 million. And we're not doing it to be self-congratulatory, to pat ourselves on the back. We're doing it because we know Jesus said, you're never happier, healthier, more whole than when you participate in giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. The very nature of God is a giver. I think when we practice generosity, he'll supply our needs at some point down the road.
Well, as a giver, when you practice generosity like that, you're not putting it in a war chest, makes me say, hey, I want to give too, because I know it's going to go to the people in need here in our community. You know, even if the pews aren't being filled right now, many organizations have what's called Faith Direct or direct deposit, where you can still donate because yeah, the needs for lights and all the infrastructure that you may not exactly have in your churches do have, but a lot of their percent of their donations go to charities. And these charities, to your point, David, need more today than they did before.
Yeah, and most churches with their online services have a way you can give online. You can do direct deposits from your bank account into the church's needs or the ministry's needs. Or you can still write that good old-fashioned check.
Sure, sure.
That works too. But the needs aren't going away, Ed, as you know. Indeed, they're being exacerbated. They're enlarged. So we've got to help as best we can. Now, our church isn't functioning at 100%. We've got a 70% giving level. But the truth is, because we don't have the infrastructure, because we don't have the staff needs as much, we can give this $1 million away. And we gladly do so because we love this community called Charlotte.
And a lot of these folks do hourly work and their businesses may be shut down. And it's tough times for them. And then, of course, the schools right now are not in session. So a lot of these kids don't have good, delicious, healthy meals at lunchtime. And their parents are trying to scrounge around to find out what to serve them for lunch. I mean, that $1 million is a beautiful thing.
Well, the other thing people don't talk much about is the fact if people are hungry, they start getting on edge, and in poorer communities, guns can be brought out, and you can start seeing theft and intimidation occurring because people are hungry. So there's a lot of downstream good things that happen in this $1 million
gift. Congratulations to your church and all those that donated to it. Wonderful.
Well, you're most kind. And again, we're only doing it, I think, mostly to say we love Jesus, and this is our way to show his love. He said that when you feed the hungry in Matthew 25, you're feeding him. That when you look in the face of that person who has hunger needs and you're giving them food, you're giving that food to him. So we're doing it for his glory and for his glory alone. But we would challenge other churches and other organizations to jump on board as well. And really, the truth is, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given unto you. The more you give away, the more God then will take care of your needs. It's a faith exercise, and we really believe that Jesus is honored with this $1 million gift. We also believe it will help this community. I hope the Lord is pleased.
You know, in the last segment, you were talking about your book, and we're going to continue to talk about anxiety and fear. You think about the man on earth that was both human and divine in Jesus. And because of his divinity, right, David, he knew what his outcome was going to be. So if there was someone of a human nature that should have been loaded with anxiety and or fear, it was Jesus, the Son of God.
Well, I think you see evidence of Jesus having to confront anxiety in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus, totally God and totally human, totally God, so he is omniscient and he knows, but totally human in that he feels everything that we feel in the garden. He knows the next day he's going to face the cross. The pain physically on the cross was something I know he didn't look forward to. Indeed, the word excruciating comes from the two Latin words ex crucis, which means from the cross. The cross was the most horrific death possible. The Romans made it painful. The person on the cross usually lived for 3 days. People walking by the crosses would see that and say, uh-oh, we better obey Roman law.
There is no kind of punishment like that in today's civilized
world. It's beyond
world.
Anything we could imagine.
Absolutely.
And so Jesus knew he was going to experience that physical pain, but also the spiritual pain, Ed, because he lived every day in perfect union life with his Father. He knew that when all the sins of the world came upon him, he would not have that relationship with the Father. Indeed, in Psalm 22 prophecies, the Father turned his back on the Son when he took all the sins of the world upon himself. And that's why Jesus cried out from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus knew in Gethsemane he was going to experience physical pain and spiritual pain like nothing else. And he was anxious. So anxious, it says he sweated droplets of blood from his forehead, which is medical evidence of a person under extreme stress. But that's it when he practiced the nuclear bomb of how to defeat anxiety. He prayed what some commentators call the prayer of relinquishment. Others call it the prayer of surrender. In facing that potentially anxious moment the next day, Jesus prays this prayer, "Not my will, but yours." He relinquishes everything to the Father. It's the ultimate, consummate act of faith. It's Jesus saying, "I know what I'm facing. I know it's real, but I'm going to put everything in my Father's hands. I'm going to trust Him completely, explicitly, with every part of my life." And in doing so, then he was able to rise up, face his arrest, and then look forward to the next day, knowing that the Father in heaven was with him, cared for him, and would give him the strength that he needed in order to overcome that moment. So for all our listeners right now, as we face the COVID-19 crisis, let me encourage all of you to practice the nuclear option with anxiety. Practice the prayer of relinquishment. Practice the prayer of surrender. Basically say, like I had to say, Ed, during those 24 hours when I was tested for the COVID-19 disease, and I didn't know if I was going to live or die, I had to say, "Not my will, but yours. It's not my life, God, it's your life. You gave it to me. You control every second of it. I'm going to trust you explicitly with everything."
Unbelievable. You paint the picture of the Garden of Gethsemane. And then his forgiveness when a sword takes off one ear. I mean, he didn't get out of character at all.
And what's so interesting, he put the ear back on.
Yeah, and healed the individual.
And he had that kind of compassion even then for the ones arresting him,
knowing what he's going to face the next day.
He had that kind of deep love for the Father in his heart that consumed every single area of his life, that consumed every single second of his life. So, dear friends, as you're confronting the COVID-19 crisis, as you're being forced to isolate, remember Jesus was isolated, indeed quarantined, if you will, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was alone when he had to deal with this particular crisis. You may be alone yourself, but you're really not alone. You have the Father in heaven with you. And if you would dare practice the nuclear option of prayer, the one prayer that the enemy hates to hear, it's basically, "Father, not my will, but your will." When you relinquish and surrender every area of your life to the Father, the enemy has no power over you. You have filled your heart with faith-filled thoughts, and therefore anxiety cannot be a part of your life. It must flee. Practice what Jesus practiced himself under anxiety, the prayer of relinquishment, the prayer of surrender. Indeed, folks, when you do, it will set you free. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We will be right back.
I'm enrolling in Medicare soon, and it had me a little confused. Then I found MyHealthPolicy.com. With MyHealthPolicy.com, I could go online and compare Medicare Advantage plans from some top-rated national insurers, including $0 monthly premium plans. I could learn about plans in my area and talk with a licensed insurance agent if needed. MyHealthPolicy.com has made doing my research a whole lot easier.
My choice, my Medicare, myhealthpolicy.com.